Welcome to the Rogue Tailboard Podcast, where firemen are fired up and minimal is unacceptable. Hey, what's going on? Good morning, good morning, good morning. Technically afternoon time, it's 11:13 my time. It is Sunday, April 28th. So I hope you guys find yourself well. It's been a little bit since I put on an episode, but as y'all know me in this platform, that's about average and expected. I don't do this just for a true side gig. Again, I make zero off of this, but when there's things I truly feel are things to talk about, that's when I'll hop on here and I'll make an episode and I'll just share it. There's a lot of other great podcasts that are doing a lot of other great things, and this one's just more about life. Biblically, life in the firehouse, life as a person on a journey of self-growth and development and what we can do to get better. And hearing stories from those that have overcome some very tough adversities that we can learn from. Which y'all know that. Those that have been following for a while, I greatly appreciate that. Those that are just new, there's a quick little synopsis of what this podcast brings. And it was laid heavy on my heart this morning to dive into 1 Thessalonians and really learn the messages and lessons that Paul was explaining through this letter to the church of Thessalonica. Before we get into that, quick little life updates. You know, my wife is currently expecting literally any day now with our 4th and final child together. This will make 6 total in the household. So we got a busy house, lots of busy things. There's always energy. There's always something going on, and it's just never a dull moment. But again, I could not just thank God enough for these blessings and to trust my wife and I to really model Christian biblical principles and produce more Christians into the world, especially at a time like it is now. And that needs no further explanation, just because you can just see in your local communities. And if you want to brave turning on the news, you can see what that's like. I choose really not to, just because it's just personal preference of mine. There's all kinds of nonsense and I'd rather not watch it. So without going through all the rambling and speaking just to speak, let's get into the good stuff here. So what is Thessalonians about? It is encouragement for a young church facing stiff persecution. Of course, who wrote it? It's the Apostle Paul. And when did it happen? Paul wrote this during his time in Corinth, around about 50 AD, as it's projected. This book fits with Paul's earliest letters and the breakdowns as we'll go through it. It is a 5-chapter book. Chapter 1, Paul thanks God for the Thessalonians. In chapter 2, Paul explains his actions and absence. In chapter 3, Timothy's encouraging report, pretty much his final just mission statement to them before he talks to the Christians abroad in chapters 4 and 5, which is living as Christians in light of Christ's second coming. The key concepts this book will cover is thanks, love, hard work, prayer, holiness, and obviously the second coming of Christ. So the masculine perspective, now mind you, this is the men's Bible study. I am a big proponent of you can be that very masculine, what normal society has called your toxic masculinity. But we have learned that those that God has called upon during his time before Christ and, you know, after his resurrection were mainly men. These were not the metrosexual, gotta keep up with the trends, gotta do this. If I don't catch all these likes, I'm worth nothing. These guys were the nobodies. And yet nations and generations and just huge promises from God were entrusted and instilled upon these men. And Thessalonians covers that quite a bit. And that's a mantra and theme that I've I've been wanting to really adopt, and I'm working on it. It's a learning process, learning lifestyle for me, as well as just the hard work and, lack of better words, forget the notoriety. So the masculine perspective on 1 Thessalonians is using your hands. Hard work is a virtue. People who make a splash and attract attention to themselves are not necessarily the most valuable. Paul praises those Christians who live quiet lives, mind their own business, and work with their hands. For me, as a 37-year-old, you look at that and I see those in the, we want to call them old timers sometimes. But the men of age, the ones that are constantly working, the quieter ones in the room who have those calloused hands, who has the crow's feet by their eyes, they're a little leathered because they've been outside. They're the workers, the quiet, hard workers. And how does that pertain to the fire service? If this is not already painting a picture for you, these are your senior guys. These are the ones that have been weathered by life. They've been weathered by calls. They've learned the experiences. They've learned when to talk, when to be quiet, but they'd rather listen and observe more than they would like to ramble just to ramble. And these are also the ones that they're the quiet warriors in the garden, per se. And so there's a lot of value for that. And that's why I'm excited to dive into this to get into the study with us too, because I know a lot of my audience are these type of people. They're the grinders, the hard chargers that constantly just want to put in the work, but also at the same time, they're quiet about it. So with all that said, let's get into some verses that are worth memorizing. If you have pen and paper, you can write these down, but we'll also revisit them once we hit them in this book. But chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. Make it your ambition to lead a quiet life. You should mind your own business and work with your hands, just as we told you, so that your daily life may win the respect of outsiders and so that you will not be dependent on anybody. Chapter 4, verses 16 through 18. The Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. That's the rapture. Chapter 5, verses 15 through 18. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always strive to do what is good for each other and for everyone else. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So moving along into chapter 1, a reminder that we're going to learn where Paul thanks God for the Thessalonians and why this was so important. So here we go. To the Church of the Thessalonians and God the Father and Lord Jesus Christ, grace and peace be to you. Thanksgiving for the Thessalonians' faith. We always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in our prayers. We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Pause. Just think about those characteristics right there, first off. Your work produced by faith. We know what faith is. That's believing in things yet to come. And so our faith in knowing that this will please inspires us to do the work. And with us being the selfless servants we are, we always aim to please those that we are serving. Otherwise, we would not be servants. There's a lot of pride and responsibility that goes into such a looked down upon, per se, servant, because you think, oh, well, they've got no power, they're this, they're You look at modern times, oh, well, a servant, they're the ones that are bringing me my water and my food, or they're the ones helping me get fitted for a tux, or, whatever the case may be. Or in our end, we're kind of a more alpha type servantship because we're doing a lot of hard physical labor, going into extreme environments, but we are serving our communities. But servantship is still servantship. And we work through our faith actions, and our labor is prompted by love. So you think about that. My hard works is prompted from the fact that I love being a fireman. I love being what God called me to be and to serve my community to that capacity. And so my love for that is what drives me to get my two workouts in a day, which drives me to get my nutrition dialed in, which drives me to stay on top of trainings and relevancy of the tactical topics that are pertinent to where I serve in my type of district and my type of area. That's all labor that's prompted out of love. And so that's just important to understand. Because it also fuels our endurance, inspired by the hope that we have in Jesus. Because he is the true model of what a man should be, is the true model of what humanity needs to act upon. And so that's inspiring. That inspires me. And that's where that's covered right there, pretty much in verses 2 through 4, or 2 through 3. So carrying on. For we know, brothers and sisters, loved by God, that he has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit and deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering, with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. Pause. That's like current times with all these different definitions of freedom and love and religion and all this other big society topics. In the midst of all that, not knowing about it, but then someone comes along and just tells you, hey, this is what I want to let you know that Jesus loves you. And this is what he's done for me in my life. And I just want to pass that message to you. It is that Holy Spirit and that strong conviction that in the midst of all these other things trying to distract you and grab your attention and follow me, worship me, whether it be money, there's all kinds of endless examples of what that can be. But in the middle of all that anxiety, you hear that calm, still voice of Jesus saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And he'll say that through one of his servants, whether that be another Christian that you come in contact with, who really embraces going forth and spreading the gospel through actions or that kind little comment or however. But in the midst of all that, just out of the joy, they're sitting there with deep conviction prompted by the Holy Spirit to tell you that the Word of God is inspired and that it's laid on my heart to share with you that He loves you. So, you know how we lived among you for your sake. Picking back up, verse 6. You became imitators of us and of the Lord, which means once you've accepted Christ into your life, I became more Christ-like. What does that look like? So I dive into the scriptures and I learn how to become a better Christian and what's expected of me as a Christian. And it just motivates you and tells you pretty much the new lifestyle. And it's not a lot of work without trying to go on a rabbit chase here. But ultimately, it's just to become more Christ-like. And so you became a model to all believers in Macedonia and Achaia. Probably butchered that. That's verse 7. Verse 8. The Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it, for they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. So again, this is talking about those newly, I don't want to say converts, but those that have been truly awakened. Their spirit has been rekindled. They have been given that breath of life. They have understood that there is nothing but the one true God. There are no others that come before him. And it is with deep conviction in the Holy Spirit and their willingness to understand and believe that Jesus is real and that God is real and that all of this existence is not just for sheer vanity and in the moment type of living, that there is a purpose behind all this. We didn't just magically come from two dust things floating in outer space to this phenomenon of a creation, just life and the universes and us in general. Like, this all has a purpose. So they get that. They understand that. They understand how their sin has separated them from God, and the only way to go back to that and to get right with God is to accept and understand who his son was that he sent for us. He sent his son for us so that a way we can have that relationship, so that a way we can be spared from the eternal torment of denying and rejecting and knowing about him, but still choosing not to believe in him and to accept him into our lives. You know, it's very paramount. That's all I can simply express. That was chapter one, but let's look at the cliff notes. Paul was thankful for the Thessalonian believers and their love for each other, their faith put into practice, and their hope in Christ. The triad of faith, love, and hope is a summary of the Christian life. Faith, love, and hope is the summary of a Christian life. There's a lot of new believers. I've asked it a lot, and I've experienced it myself. You get so overwhelmed by the Holy Spirit when he truly is pressed upon you and now lives with inside of you. And you see the world through just a different lens, so to say. It's actually very true. And then you start to, the more you walk in the light, and I know I made a post about this not long ago, but the more that you walk in the light, the more that your flaws are revealed, and the more that humbling that experience is, because you see all the wrong you've done. And when that is revealed to you, you just fall with mercy and just ask God to forgive you for that. And that's that hope, knowing that God's mercy will far supersede and far surpass any amount of sin that you have. And he just continues. It's unending. And when you really sit down and you just take that in for a second, how wonderful it is to be a child of God and to just have that, knowing that every time that we mess up, and we're always going to mess up, Jesus is there to say, it's okay. Come with me and let's go before God and let's just ask for forgiveness on this. And do your best to not continue to repeat that same sin and continue. Just break free from that chain of bondage that has upon you. But it's faith, hope, and love that gets us through that. Faith in an all-powerful God is demonstrated by living one day at a time. One day. We're never promised tomorrow, but we have today. You've heard me mention this before, but if God has woken you up, that alarm clock, whatever channel that he used to wake you up through your deep sleep, that is another day of life that you have been blessed with. And if you're able to, with your free will, get out of bed and put your own 2 feet or your own 1 foot, whatever the case may be, if you're able to just get out of bed and move, that is a huge blessing from God. And we just take that for granted, like it's expected. But again, our faith in our God is demonstrated by living one day at a time. So what are you doing today to show that God is real, that God is alive, and that God is in you? What are you doing with that? Love is shown as principles of truth are demonstrated through sacrificial service to others. Hope carries us through the hard times as we depend upon God. So there it goes. It just broke down the triad of the Christian life of faith, hope, and love. Let me repeat that. Faith in an all-powerful God is demonstrated by living one day at a time. Love is shown as principles of truth are demonstrated through sacrificial service to others. Hope carries us through the hard times as we depend on God. It's putting ourselves last. And we put ourselves last because we know and we are told that as long as we have God, we have all that we need. And you see it play out when you keep that in your mind and you hear this or you read this to where it's sacrificial service to others. There's other servants that are taking care of you while you're taking care of other servants. So your needs are going to be fulfilled. Again, he takes care of the animal kingdom, feeds them. Everything else takes care of them, gives them shelter. He does that for the animal kingdom. And we are made in the uniqueness because we are made in the image of God. So how much more is he going to take care of us, his true creation? So just keep those hopes in mind when you go throughout your life that you are special, you have worth, you have value. It is not to be in vain, it's not to be arrogant, but be boastful of what God has done for you. And just live it one day at a time. And this absolutely parallels with the fire service. Because look at what we do. Look at your station life, and then look as soon as you are on call. There's a switch. And subconsciously, look back on these times that you've been through the firehouse and whatever may be going on and all the chaoticness that's, you know, internal that society never sees except for the firefighters that are inside that house and inside that department going through whatever turmoil or whatever the case is. But it's like, all right, time out. We got a mission assignment. Go forth and represent God and do God's work and give everything you can to render aid to this emergency. And we show up and they are just floored. They, as in the citizens in distress, are just so thankful and grateful to see you and how you handle that business. Then it's like, okay, now let's go back to our fight. And let's just go, no, stop that. That's where the hope carries us, is shown through the hard times as we depend on God. We should stay in dependence of God. Because without him, we have nothing. The Thessalonians were examples of faithful citizens of God's kingdom. They had gained freedom from idolatry because they believed in Jesus Christ and experienced his transforming power in their lives. His power makes all the difference. When we surrender our lives to God, he can redeem us and make us shining examples of his love and grace. The best way I've heard this too is us as Christians, we're not supposed to be the lawyers. We're definitely not the judge. But we're the eyewitnesses that are on the stand giving firsthand testimonies of what God's done in my life. And when we go out and we try and talk to people, even as a Christian, I'm just going to be real. There's times where I feel some type of way when I see the man on the corner just boldly declaring the gospel and you're going to hell, this and this and blah, blah, blah. Speaking biblically and theologically sound stuff, however, is that done in a loving manner? You know, again, I say that to say we all have our different approaches. We all have different ways of planting the seeds of the gospel, but none of them can compare to the testimony of the story of what Jesus has done for you in your life. And if you don't share that story and you don't relate and you're not real, people aren't going to understand that. You make those connections. Even if I got 5 minutes with you, you should be able to understand that, hey, this dude's genuine. Like, he cares. He might be a big old boy with tattoos, but man, you can just feel the love coming out of him. I hope that's what God gives me to portray to others. And then you start talking about this. Hey, man, this guy really cares about me. Well, hey, guess what? Let me tell you about Jesus. Let me tell you what he did for me, man. And there you go. To me, that is more welcoming to me. This is just my take on it. That's more welcoming to me than walking into a store to where I got to get supplies or groceries, whatever the case is, and I've just got this guy in a megaphone just telling me about eternal damnation. Like, yes, I get that. I know that. But Wow. Anyways, just be mindful and just do it with love and grace when you go to spread the message of God, especially to non-believers just out there in the public. I know that was a little side rant. I don't know why that just happened, but let's just go with it. But we are called again to be the shining examples of his love. The Thessalonian believers had experienced a spiritual awakening through belief in Jesus Christ. As they imitated his ways, despite the persecution it brought them, they became examples that led many in the surrounding area to experience the healing offered by God in Jesus Christ. We, too, should be changed in ways that others can see. And we should share our faith in Christ. We can allow this to be the natural outflow of our experience of salvation. We can give hope to others by sharing our story. As we do so, we will not only inspire hope in others, we will also experience personal encouragement as we recall all the great things God has done in our lives. Boom. How awesome is that to just understand that? That our salvation was not in vain and it did not go without purpose. There's one thing, I've said it before, if you followed enough or tuned in, and I say it because I think it's extremely important in a look at me era of the world in general, with just instant gratification and everything else. Do not get so fixated on the messenger that you forget the message. Everyone has a story, and everyone's story matters, absolutely. But it's the story that's highlighted. It is not the person. The only person that should ever really receive our true attention, our true all, our true everything is Jesus. Not some well-renowned fireman, not some well-renowned motivational speaker, not some outstanding mentor that we're just in awe of, even though I'm extremely grateful for everyone that's played a critical role in my personal development. I can only speak for myself. They're nothing compared to Jesus. It is all my focus and attention is on him because I know what he has done for me. I've lived that life without God by my side, and I've seen how toxic, and it's just, I'm so thankful I'm not that same person anymore. And I am nowhere near perfect. There's a lot of days I still feel like that old person, but I know God has forgiven me, and that's an internal battle that I've got to continue to just lay at the feet of God and really be reminded of this triad of faith, hope, and love. And that love is shown as principles of truth demonstrated through sacrificial services to others. And the hope, the biggest thing is hope. That it carried me through all my hard times, and I depended on God. I went through hard times and I didn't know God, and those were extremely scary days for me. And that's where depression really kicked in. That's where the isolation and, you know, the suicidal thoughts came into play back then. And it just, because I did not depend on God. I depended on other things except for him. And all those other things were leading me closer and closer to death than they were to life. That's a lot to pack in just this one chapter here. But how great is God, guys? One, that he gives us his word and his wisdom through the Holy Bible, which is always relevant. It was relevant back then, it's relevant today, and it'll be relevant until Jesus comes home and the whole new earth is, or the whole new heaven is put here on earth. And even then, his word is a living document. It stays alive. So we have the encouragement of that. I just want to thank you all for tuning in. That's all I got before I just ramble and not really speak from God anymore. I just want to thank you guys for continuing to be who you are. I want to thank you for continuing to keep your heads down and just humble and just put in the hard work. I want to thank you for understanding that it is not about you, but it's about a bigger purpose. Even if we do not see the full picture yet, we know there is a picture that's being painted. And we're just a small part, and we're beyond blessed and thankful that God even chose us to be a small part of the big picture of everything, particularly here within the fire service. And so I just want to thank you for continuing. I pray that you stay encouraged. I pray that you stay equipped, and I pray that you stay steadfast to the mission and continue to have that confidence to be bold in your faith as you live as a dad, a mother, whatever your roles are that you play. I pray that you boldly go forth and understand that you are, as heard here, a shining example of God and the great things that He has done in our lives. So thank you for tuning in. We'll carry up on chapter 2 next week, and I'm looking forward to the rest of the series. See y'all.